But for us, we come back to this. Why does God send the tribulation for believers? It's the inexplicable mystery of why God has waited so long to stop evil. You see, in chapter 19, what happens is Jesus comes, and when he comes, he rights all wrongs. There, no one escapes. There's going to be no one that gets away. You know how we have people that, a technicality, their case is thrown out, and they committed some heinous murder, but, you know, there was a technicality in the tribe, and they're released. Guess what? The second coming of Christ is that the justice, the holiness, the all-knowing God of wrath that loves so much, he rights all wrongs. God seemingly just looks on over the centuries as missionaries are slain and churches are burned to the ground and millions of people are oppressed and living in despair. Apparently, God doesn't intervene. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything. Sin just develops and goes on. The mystery is, why does God delay? Well, somewhere beyond the starry skies, there's a herald angel with a trumpet. And by the decree of the Lord God Almighty, there's a day, an hour, and a moment when Christ will return. It's kicked off by the tribulation. It's culminated by the judge who rights all wrongs, returning. Let me give you an overview of the end of days in Revelation. Chapter 6 starts the judgments by the sixth seal. That takes place in Revelation 6, 12 to 17. We have an earthquake. God sends such a big earthquake in 6, 17 at the end of this chapter. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. The moon kind of gets a tinge because the atmosphere is so full of dust like blood. And meteors start falling. Now just imagine, as these scenes flash by, do you know what the people on earth are going to feel like? Let me read verse 15 with you for just a moment and think about watching this happen. Chapter 6, verse 15. And the kings and the rich men of earth, the great men, the rich man, the commanders, the mighty man, every slave, every free, hide themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath, for the great day of his wrath has come. Whoa. We just went through these six seals. And they say, the great day is coming. What I like to say is, Revelation 6 through 8 is like a movie trailer. Each of the disasters is only a preview of the devastating fire of God, which he said thousands of years ago, he's going to destroy the heavens and the earth. This beginning, these seals we see starting in chapter 6, are followed by even more devastation, are followed by even greater devastation that culminates here. Amazing to think about. John sees angelic creatures falling like burning meteors to the earth, holding a key in his hand. Now, do you mind if I give you a little preview? Look at the next slide. This is the real horror of the tribulation. Now, we're not going to cover this for a couple days, but look at chapter 9. More and more and more people are gravitating toward movies. Now, I know all the theaters are closed right now and everybody's streaming something. But when movie season is going full force, about half of all the movies have some type of a supernatural element to them. Look what happens in chapter 9, verse 3. I call it when the real horror, it's right here in the middle of the second, you know, right in the middle of the seals, trumpets, and bowls, right here. Chapter 9, verse 3, right there. This is the moment where the real horror is unleashed. I'll read it. And starting in verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit,
And the sun and the air were darkened, in verse 3, and out of the smoke locusts came on the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions. Whoa. Demons rush out of that pit and sweep across the face of the earth like a dark, thick plague of locusts. If the terrifying quake of chapter 6 seemed bad, this is so much more terrifying. There's nowhere to go. There's no escape. There's no secure room, because these creatures aren't stopped by physical barriers. They're demonic. They're spirit beings. What comes with them? Verse 17 of chapter 9. The massacre arrives. A world terrorized, it says in verse 10 of chapter 9, for 150 days, now has something to fear. The searing pain is about to be replaced with horrific death. And in 9:17, the sixth angel sounds. And that's when, look at this, a third of all humanity die. Do you know what's interesting? I've been watching the New York Times talking about the kind of the flu epicenter in America is New York City. People are dying there so rapidly that they're having trouble burying them all. And they're renting semi-trucks and parking them. They're stacking people's bodies and body bags in them. They've started this trench on this island where they've always buried nameless people. Now they're burying boxes by the hundreds in that long, long trench. And now there are drone footage showing these forklifts taking stacks of caskets and putting them into the ground, and bulldozers. Did you know during the tribulation, there's going to be no way to, in an orderly fashion, deal with the death and carnage and destruction? What's the conclusion to all this? 2 Peter 3. Now, remember, there's nothing new here. It's just an explanation of everything else. That's why it's very hard to stay only in the book of Revelation, because to understand each piece, you have to go back where it came from. 2 Peter, where we already saw the scoffers. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Because this, when you talk about climate change, this is the ultimate climate change. Chapter 3, verse 10 of 2 Peter, the day of the Lord. Remember, the day of the Lord, it, in the Old Testament, refers to the entire tribulation period culminated by the second coming, day of the Lord. So Peter's talking about this entire event, which we would call Revelation 6 to 19. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will burn with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. There's a fire coming that melts the entire universe down to the atomic level. The elements, in Greek, this is the word they use for the basic particles. We would call them atoms and subatomic particles. Now here's the lesson. Everything unconnected to God burns. Look at verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, the universe is going to dissolve, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Wait a minute. This book became so popular to the early church because they said, everything unconnected to God, Peter told us, burns. God shows us we're the church on earth. We should be doing what he left us to do. We're going to be in heaven, and the currency of heaven is what we do for Christ on earth. God is sending the tribulation. No one can escape the second coming of Christ, and there's going to be this final burning before heaven starts. Wow.